Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your throne room and spend time just worshiping you and spend time just reflecting on your character, on your goodness, Lord. And we thank you for who you are this morning, Lord. And we just praise you for all the good things you do in and through us, Lord. And Father, we thank you that we can come around your word this morning. And Lord, we thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come this morning? Would you minister in a way that only you can, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It's great to be in church. And if you're visiting, we pray that it's a wonderfully blessed morning this morning. And we pray you feel right at home as you partake in our service this morning. Things are a little bit different due to the restrictions, as we know, but God's still on the throne and God's still big, and you know, and he's still God, you know. And I was reflecting this week, I was even just looking through some of those text messages that Mel flicks out about prayer requests and, you know, the opportunity that we have to articulate and the opportunity we have just to bring our request into the presence of God and, you know, do so with boldness. But then what I was actually thinking most on is that opportunity that we have to reflect, just to reflect on his goodness. Like if you were to go back and flick through those text messages, if you're on the team, and if you're not, speak to Mel, speak to Trev and jump on, and you know, you reflect back and you see the bigness and the goodness of God just to touch people in a range of situations, you know. And this morning I just want to share a thought around a little word, you know. And it's a little word, but it's also a really, really big word. You know, it's a word that changes things. It's a word that you and I love to hear. It brings value. It brings appreciation into our hearts and lives. And this word, when people started to use it in the presence of Jesus, you know, miracles took place. And as Jesus began to use this word, miracles also took place. And this word will take you and I to places we've never been before. And the word that I want to speak on this morning is the word of thanks. You know, a powerful, powerful word. I find that currently we're sitting in this area where all this stuff's going on around about us, but our heart still needs to have thankfulness. And thanks needs to be a part of our vocabulary. And I was thinking about this, you know, school holidays on at the moment. Tony and I were talking, I think it might have even been yesterday or the day before. We did a few things with Mikey and a few mates and a range of things, actually. Took him to this place and we did that and we did this, all whilst wearing masks, don't get me wrong. And we went to all these places and he had a mate sleep over and then not once did thanks roll off his lips. You know, or if you think about those that have got really young kids, you know, something happens and you're trying to teach them that heart of appreciation, and so you're saying to them, say thank you, but who knows when it's like saying, forcing a sorry. It's not really real, but we still do it as parents to teach our kids. You know, it's like that. We're trying to teach them to say thank you for whatever it is. And as I think about this message, I don't think that you and I are necessarily reluctant to say thanks to each other and to thanks to God. But I just want us to be mindful enough to consider the goodness of God and to come back and simply say to each other, thank you for that, or thank you, Heavenly Father, for that which you've done in my life. And I want to share around this word this morning, giving thanks. You know, and if you're after a title for my message, and I know Drapes is watching online and he goes and loads all of the sermons online for those that want to watch them or listen to them later, and he really appreciates when you give him a title so he doesn't have to try and come up with a title when he's posting them on. If you want a title, it would be In All Things. In All Things. You see, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, and I think this question that all mankind face and are continually asking is, what is the will of God for my life? You know, has anyone ever asked that question of themselves? You know, as a teenager, I know I asked it multiple times, you know, what's your will for my life? You see, is that this is part of the will of God for your life, is that you would give thanks. Is that God's will for each and every one of us. And I love that this verse says that we are to give thanks in all circumstances and all things. I'm grateful that it does not say that we give thanks for our circumstances and we give thanks for all things. You see, when you and I find ourselves in a challenging situation or circumstance, we're not designed to give thanks for that thing, for that circumstance, but we're designed to give thanks in the midst of a challenging season and a challenging time. We're not designed to give thanks for that negative report or that issue with our finances or our health, but we're designed to give thanks in the midst of those reports, that in all things you and I would have grateful hearts, we would have thankful hearts, and no matter what comes our way, no matter what we're dealt with, is that situations come and situations arise and we find ourselves at different times in different seasons. But would you allow the posture of your heart to be a posture of thanksgiving this morning? You know, like I think about, I read a lot of commentary online, and the commentary online at the moment is not commentary of thankfulness. It's all of this commentary at the moment. But would we be ones that have a posture of thankfulness? Just give thanks. You know, just give thanks and everything changes. You know, the storm may not disappear. But what thanksgiving does, it gives us a new perspective. It brings an inner peace in the midst of whatever you and I are going through. Is that verse is powerful. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Is that Paul puts pen to paper and God wants to get the message across to each and every one of us. That it's our thanksgiving is continual, not contingent. Is that you and I desire to have thanksgiving in all things. Not just when everything's perfect in our world. No, but it's not based on those contingencies. And it's not based on all of those being wonderful and perfect. No. In that, no matter what we're going through, is that we will continually be positioned in a place of giving thanks to God. It's not waiting for the environment, not waiting for the situation, not waiting for the circumstance to be perfect, not waiting for God to answer that prayer. And then we would respond with thanksgiving. No. Is that thanksgiving leads the way. Thanksgiving takes place in the midst of whatever you and I are going through. Whatever you and I are going through. So this morning I want to share a number of thoughts. Four thoughts around you and I being more thankful or more mindful of thankfulness and the power of thankfulness. You know, in Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5, we know it so well. And anyone who grew up in this church, you remember, I know I remember, the song. You know, straight out, listening to it this morning, and Tony, I think she was looking at me like I was a bit crazy, thinking, what's that old school song? You know, what's that song? But anyone will remember, if they grew up in the church, He has made me glad, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. You know those verse, He has made me glad. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. You see, my first thought this morning is this, is thankfulness leads us into the presence of God. You see, Psalms 95 and verse 2, it says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. You see, Psalms 100 starts off like this. It starts with, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Is that this verse is not just speaking to the children of God who are dwelling in Jerusalem, but it's talking to all generations, to all lands. Thanksgiving is to be done on an individual basis, but it's also so powerful on a corporate basis. And as a church, we come together. This morning we come together to lift up His name. There's no other name greater. And here it says that you and I, we enter His courts, or we enter His gates with thanksgiving. You see, I get this picture that when you and I come with a thankful heart, is that God opens the gates of heaven, is that thanksgiving gives you and I access to the presence of God. And I've found that you and I, as sons and daughters of God, is that we're designed to live on this side of the gate. Last night we were going around, we're going for a drive, driving around, and we saw this little Shetland pony over in this paddock, and Tony was like, can we pull over and we'll show the girls, we'll get them out. And I said, no, I used to be a pizza delivery guy. And I know that house across the road doesn't have a gate. And they've got these really three big dogs. And I remember being petrified as the pizza delivery guy, holding the pizza out to say, come on, you eat that before you eat me. And have to say to the owner, say, no, we were on the wrong side of the gate, if that makes sense. But God, thanksgiving puts us on the right side of the gate. Would we be ones that have thanksgiving in our hearts? Thanksgiving in our hearts. We're designed to live on the right side of the gate. We're not designed to live on the outside of the gate, but we're designed to live in the presence of God. But when we've got thanksgiving in our hearts, the gates of heaven are activated. And I sort of get this picture when Tone and I lived in Mum's house for a little while. She's got this garage, and you walk along, and we don't have one. And you'd be driving down the road, and once you got close enough, you'd pull your little, and you'd push this button, and it would activate. It would activate, the roller door would go up, and you'd just go straight in. You know, it's a little bit like that. You know, you're driving down the street, it activates a frequency to open up the garage door. It's just that thanksgiving does exactly the same thing. Is when you and I activate the frequency of thanksgiving in our lives, it positions you and I on the right side of the gate, and that's the side that we're designed to live. Could you and I be more mindful of the power of the word thanks? And you know, as we say it to each other, and as we say thank you to God, would we enter His gates with thanksgiving? Would we enter His courts with praise? You know, and I've often considered thanksgiving and praise to sort of be this interchangeable word. A word that you could sort of merge together. It could kind of be the same thing, but as I've studied things and I've thought about these two words are completely different things. Is that thanksgiving is thanksgiving focuses on the benefits bestowed upon you and I by God. The psalmist said, forget not all His benefits. You know, and Nick spoke so wonderfully well, forget not all His promises, all His benefits. That thanksgiving, while we come before God with thanksgiving, is that God has given so much to each and every one of us. He's bestowed blessing upon blessing over each and every one of our lives. Where praise is completely different is praise. Praise focuses on the nature, focuses on the character, focuses on the attributes of God. You see, He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's righteous, He's holy, He's loving. So praise focuses on His nature, focuses on His character, why we actually love Him. And here this verse is saying is that thanksgiving and praise merge together, is that thanksgiving gives you access into the presence of God. It opens the gates. But praise enables us to go forward into the courts of God. There's something powerful about our prayer life. If we were to add to our prayer life this aspect of thanksgiving and the aspect of praise, is God and you and you and God working together. You know, our prayers and His power. The Word of God says this, is that you and I, we can pray amiss. But one thing that we can't do amiss, we can't think amiss. We can't praise God amiss for His nature. Would you and I praise and add thanksgiving into our prayer life? You know, to see the power of God flow, we enter His gates with thanksgiving. We enter His courts with praise. And then this definition I have of thanksgiving is Thanksgiving is remembering the goodness of God. You see, God is good to you and I. And thanksgiving is simply just remembering the goodness of God. You see, thanksgiving flows from right remembering. When you and I remember the right things about each other, we remember the right things about our Heavenly Father, is that thanksgiving just flows automatically. But when we start remembering the wrong things about each other, the wrong things about God, how He hasn't come through in this area or in that area, is that thanksgiving stops. And when thanksgiving stops, it actually paralyzes us from moving forward into the future that God has for each and every one of us. Would you and I start remembering the goodness of God? Is thanksgiving flows when you and I stand in the place remembering the goodness of God? Thanksgiving leads us into the presence of God. Next thought. Thanksgiving magnifies God. Psalm 69 and verse 30, it says this: I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Is that you and I can actually see God in a bigger dimension. We can see God in a bigger way just by activating a heart and a spirit of thanksgiving or giving thanks. Is that David is saying here is that we can magnify God with our thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I remember at high school, you know, even now we do it in the primary school, in the science class, if you're studying, you know, like cells or studying DNA or any microbes, you get the microscope out and you take that little particle, whatever it is, strand of hair or whatever it is, and you put it between two pieces of glass. And the whole goal of a microscope is to make that which is really small appear bigger than what it actually is. It enlarges it that way. It takes a small thing. It makes it bigger than what it actually is. And on the other hand, you can get a telescope out. We did this at school. We had a night where we got the telescope out and we put it up in the sky and we were looking at the stars. And the goal of a telescope is to take an already big thing and make it appear as if it's like that so we can see it. And you see, you and I, we're not designed to be microscopes to make a small thing bigger than what it actually is. But you and I are designed to make a big thing and to see a big thing how it actually is. And so David here is saying is that we magnify God with our thanksgiving. He's not saying I'm going to make a small God bigger than what He actually is. No, he's saying I'm pulling out my telescope and I'm going to make a really big God seem to be as big as what He really is. Is that we don't serve a small God. No, we serve a big God. And when you and I have this attitude, this heart of thanksgiving, it magnifies God. You know, you might be one today that need a big God. Would you be bold enough to start remembering the goodness of God and start to give thanks not for what you're going through, but in the midst of what you're going through? Thanksgiving, it has a power attached to it. It opens up the gates of heaven and puts us in a position of faith. It puts us in a position where we know that our God is big. He's a big, big God. You see, thanksgiving individually, thanksgiving corporately magnifies God. My next thought, thanksgiving paves the way for answered prayer. You see, as Jesus has just appeared on the scene of His good friend, Lazarus, and he's been dead. He's been dead in the tomb for a number of days. And now Jesus appears on the scene. He declares to those that are watching that He is the resurrection and He is the life. And He says these words in John 11:41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You for what You've heard. I thank You that You have heard Me. I love this. Jesus looks up. He looks up and he says these words. I thank you that you've heard my prayer. He said, if I was Jesus, I'd be saying the same thing. He's just asked them to open the grave, to roll the stone away. Jesus' reputation is on the line. He's saying, Heavenly Father, I'm just checking in. I'm just thanking you that you've heard my prayer and this guy's going to come forth. Lazarus is going to come forth. Would you and I just dare to believe that when we pray to God, that we would give thanks to God and that God's going to answer that prayer? How often do we just throw out our prayers, but we never ever actually consider the possibility of just saying, thank you that you've heard me. Because you've heard me in the past, you're going to hear me today and you're going to hear me again into the future. We start to remember the goodness of God. He looks up to heaven. I just want to say thank you that you've heard my prayer. Lazarus, come forth. That which was dead, that which suffered loss comes forth. As you and I would we be ones that lift up our prayers and we can put some prayers and God, we love you. Would we add an element of thanksgiving, remembering the goodness of God to our prayer life? My final thought this morning is thanksgiving makes you and I whole. Thanksgiving makes you and I whole. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. It's the miracle of the 10 lepers. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were they not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You see, in this story, there is this one who comes back and is worshiping God. He's seeing the bigness of God. He's seeing the character, the attributes, the nature of God. And he decides to give thanks for that. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He started to remember the goodness of God. How just moments earlier, maybe for years, he had suffered this condition of leprosy. He was an outcast of society. He may not have had engagement with his family or his kids for years and years. And he looks down at his hands. He looks over his body and the leprosy is gone. And it says he comes back. He throws himself at Jesus' feet in verse 17. And then Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? You know, the saddest part of the passage. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give thanks to God except for this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. You see, there's 10 of them. They're praying. They're crying out, Jesus, would you heal us? Would you heal me? Would you have mercy on me? And Jesus is just saying, go to the priest. Show yourself. And the leprosy's gone. One of them takes a look at his body and says, I've got to go back. I've got to go back. I've got to go back and praise him. I've got to go back and say thank you. I know there's a whole life ahead of me, but I've got to run back and say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me as 10 were healed, but only one was made whole. And why was he made whole? He was made whole because of his ability to go back and say, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus says these words, your faith has made you well. And the word well comes from the Greek word sozo, meaning saved or salvation. It means to be made whole, to be made complete. Is that 9 were healed that day, but one found Jesus. Is his life was now made whole. It was now made complete. He had no residue of leprosy on his body. But the other 9 that went their way, the society would have looked at them and said, you've had leprosy. The guy walked around town and no one knew he had leprosy. He was made whole. He was made complete. All because of his ability to go back and say thanks. You see, one of these great miracles, the number of us that pray is greater than the number of us who come back and give thanks to God. Would we be ones, or the goal this morning is to flip that? The number of us who pray is greater than the number of us who come back to give thanks. You see, we all have prayer requests. We have heaps of them. And I wonder how often we flip the other side and just consider the goodness of God. And they would turn our request into a place of thanksgiving, a place of praise. I encourage you this morning, in the midst of whatever you're going through, would you have a heart full of thanksgiving? And as you remember the goodness of God today, you see, give thanks to God. Colossians chapter 1, it says it perfectly in verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We give thanks to the Father because he's delivered us from the power of darkness. We give thanks to the Father because he has conveyed upon us and given us the kingdom of his Son, of his love. We give thanks to the Father because he has redeemed us. You see, the forgiveness of things is that you and I, you see, it's not an exhaustive list, an exhaustive number of reasons of why we give thanks to God. But I want you to get this, is that if we give thanks because God qualified us. You see, we may fail. You may think we're self-made. We're self-qualified. No. God has qualified each and every one of us to be sons and daughters. And we give thanks because he has delivered us. He's delivered us from death into light, from darkness into his presence. See, he's delivered us. We give thanks because of the very character of who he is. You see, we remember his goodness today. His goodness of who he is. So this morning as we close, I've got one more song that I want to play. And it's a song about the very character of Jesus. Because when we reflect upon the very character of Jesus, how can't we give thanks? When we're reminded of who he is, our natural response is thanksgiving follows. Thanksgiving follows. You know, when we're reminded of who it is, we magnify him. We consider his goodness. We're reminded of what we've got access to because of him. We're made whole. We have access to his presence. So this morning, as we close, I'll pray. And would you listen to the song? And as you're listening to the song, would you allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of who he is afresh this morning? Remind you of who he is, his very character. Feel free to respond in any way, and I know the team will be happy to pray for any. But Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your very character. You know that no amount of adjectives would actually describe the very character of who you are. You're so describable, yet in the same breath, indescribable. You're loving. You're gracious. Would we be reminded of your very character? And as we're reminded of your very character, would our heart's response be to praise you and thank you afresh? Thank you that you've paved the way. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And when we